Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, he did his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness is with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you, his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you will speak to us this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us to hear only that which comes from you and to disregard the rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I wonder if you've ever been in a situation when you meet someone and they say your name and you know that you know them, but you can't get their name. Four of you. It's increasing thing that happens to me now. Anyway, if it happens to you, know that you're in good company. For there's a story about the famous conductor, Sir Thomas Beecham. And he was attending a prestigious reception and was in conversation with someone that he recognised, but whose name he could not recall. So he began the conversation, as you do, trying to work out who it was. And he was desperate to find a clue to the person's identity. So he said, "So are you well?" "Yes, thank you." "And the family?" he continued. "Yes, they're fine." "And your husband, is he well?" "Yes, very well, thank you." "And is he still in the same line of business?" "Yes, he's still king." It's important to know each other's names. And when you can't remember, it's embarrassing. Well, let me tell you this. God knows your name. He knows everything about you. Do you know that in another psalm, he knows when you get up? He knows when you lie down. He knows the crafty 20 minutes you grabbed after lunch, which as you get older extends. And you wake up and it's now gone dark outside. God knows. He knows your name. It's embarrassing when someone knows your name and you don't know them. It's like we don't care. God knows your name. Do you know him? This summer here at Holy Trinity, you're looking at a few psalms. And this morning, if you haven't picked it up, it's Psalm 103. This is a psalm that is written by a man, King David. Now, when preaching on psalms, we have to remember that first and foremost, these are songs. Okay? Psalms are songs. And those who are writing the song are writing out of their mainly personal experience. And they are expressing their emotion and their feelings. Now, we have, over the years, been pretty, not necessarily here, but as a church, to make sure that we remove emotion and feeling from the church. And actually, we've been pretty successful. I've been to plenty of churches. And that seems strange, doesn't it, when our main message is God is love. And songs are like a piece of art or a photograph. So the photograph captures a moment in time, but it says much more, don't they? They say every picture tells a story. Now, here's a picture. What's the picture of? Sharabang. Yeah, I would have called it a bus, but Sharabang will do. Can you spot anybody on the bus? Joanna, well done. So it's a picture of Joanna on a bus. And that is so, it's okay like that. But here's the story behind the picture. We went to Whitby and Joe really wanted to do the heartbeat tour. There's a heartbeat. It's a TV program and it's filmed up on the Yorkshire moors. And you can go to the place and you can go on this bus to Aidensfield. It's got a, its proper name is Goat something, but Aidensfield. Anyway, so we really wanted to do this, and so we made some inquiries, and they said, yes, it's running, which was great, and where does it stop? And it stopped right outside the hotel that we were staying in. That is so convenient, isn't it? So we were chuffed, because what it meant was we could get up, have a leisurely breakfast, just, you know, have a nice relaxing time, and the bus would pick us up right outside the hotel. Then we talked to some people and said, oh, what you want to do is you want to go down into Whitby, which is where it starts, because sometimes it's very busy and you won't get on it. Oh, okay, change the plan, let's go to Whitby, which was about a mile. And then we talked to some other people and they said, what you want to do is when you get down there, get there early, because often there's a great big queue and you might not get on the bus. So we went down really early. I mean, we were so early that, we had to find something to do. So we went to what do? You drink tea, you know. So we went to drink tea and we drank actually a lot of tea. And we still went back to where the bus would go from in Whitby. And we thought we'd better not leave it to chance. So we'll get in the queue early so that we definitely get on the bus. And actually there was a queue. There were two people in front of us. And so we waited there by the wall. So we had about 2 hours. And I don't know if you can see, but I think there were 6 people on the bus. And then it pulled up outside our hotel, where somebody walked out the hotel and gone. Anyway, that's just to tell you, you know, there's a lot more, isn't there, behind the picture. And so, remembering now that Psalms are songs, I'm going to show you some words from some famous songs, and in your groups, in your 4s or 5s or whatever, you just tell me what the song is expressing, okay? You got it? Yeah? Okay. Here's the first one. Okay. What have you come up with? What is this expressing? Happiness?
Excitement?
Excitement? We've got delusion here. That does depend. It is interesting, isn't it? 2 weeks into the season, some fans are already singing this. But anyway, I think it's actually, you know, those things, it expresses joy, it celebration, it expresses celebration, success and victory. Okay, the next one, and when we get onto it, my family do not answer. Okay, in your groups, discuss what does this express? Okay, not much chatter. You can talk to each other. What's the expression here? What's it about? I like it. I like where you're coming from. Never heard that before. What's it express? What?
Love.
Yeah. Motor of love. Heavenly Father, look down from above. And what this person is expressing, just how immense love is. I can't get over your love. We pray, don't we, that Tilly will never get over Jesus and his love for her. That there'll never be a day when she won't be amazed at the love of her Saviour. Now then, not my family. Who knows which psalmist wrote this? Okay, it's Paul McCartney. Okay, here's another one. What's being expressed here? Chat to each other. Okay, we'll cut the chatting. This is in stark contrast, isn't it? This expresses the pain of not being loved. Yet it has an amazing biblical truth in it. You can only give love if you have received love. You can't give what you haven't got. And the Bible says we love because God first loved us. But here's a man crying out to know love. And he knows that what's clear here is that love is to give. So the most famous verse in the Bible probably, God so loved the world that he... You can't love without giving. You cannot give love unless you know the love of God. We love because God first loved us. So what do you think is being expressed here?
Gratitude.
Yeah, great one. I think the overwhelming thing is just the delight of David in God. As you said, gratitude is obvious joy and delight in God. And the joy of forgiveness. But here's the thing. We don't always feel like that. And David, who wrote this, also wrote Psalm 51, which is an incredible, incredible psalm. I think you've already looked at that. Let me just tell you something about David, if you don't know David, okay? What he did was he took another man's wife, he slept with her, he got her pregnant, he tried to cover it up, and eventually got the husband killed. They think Jeremy Kyle's far out. But it is nothing compared to the Word of God. Now, I know some of you, and, you know, a roguish lot, but I don't think many of you have gone that far. And yet, you don't believe that you're worthy to come to God. You're still carrying shame and guilt. And God loves you. You've got nowhere near what David did. But you can't believe God loves you. And we also need to know that things happen to us in our lives. Things happen to us in our past that are not meant to be life-defining. A lot of people live by what happened to them in their life. And they are not meant to be life-defining. They are life-learning. And some of these things that have happened to you that you've experienced are terrible. But they are not meant to be life-defining. And so back to David. Do you think when he wrote this, when he said about God who forgives all your sins, that he was hoping it was right? Or do you think from personal experience he wrote that because he knew? In Luke's Gospel, Jesus has his feet washed by a woman with a poor reputation. And Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little." In other words, if you don't understand the extent to which you are forgiven, you will not love much. David, after his affair with Bathsheba, discovers that God knows what he's done, and he cries out in deep repentance. And in Psalm 51, David pleads, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Well, this psalm, this song he wrote, that is the joy restored. That is a man forgiven. David, through God's forgiveness, was not going to be defined by his past mistakes. Now, my experience is that I don't think that we understand the seriousness of sin. We get very concerned about some medical conditions that are very bad for us, but actually sin is terminal. And it has only one cure, and that's Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead. And that is what we were doing in baptism of Tilly. We were identifying her with Jesus in his death. She died today to an old way of life, believe it or not. And she's risen to a new life in the Spirit. And here in this psalm, the psalmist says, who forgives all your sins. Now, in some translation it says, who forgives all your iniquities. Now, strange things, iniquities, I don't know if you know, very strange things, iniquities, they can just creep up on you. So, for example, I can go to bed at night and everything is okay with my wife. I get up in the morning, the only thing I've done is sleep. Before a word is spoken, she will point out one or two iniquities that have clung to me as I slept. The night before, all was well, but whilst I slept, these iniquities got hold of me. There's nobody here who doesn't need forgiveness, and I have to say this, in the interest of fairness and in truth, it cannot operate in reverse. Jesus forgives all our sins. He cleanses us from all our iniquities. He wakes up, well, he hasn't really slept, and he says, "Morning, Martin, I love you." I love the film, The Shack, and I love that line in it particularly. If you haven't seen The Shack, you should see The Shack, where God says, "I am particularly fond of you," to the main character, Mac. "Mac, I am particularly fond of you." God is particularly fond of you. Every one of you. God is particularly fond of you. And this is what the psalmist is expressing. He's wowed by it. Are you wowed by it? That Jesus has dealt with all your sin. As the hymn goes, "My sin not in part, but in the whole." We pray till he grows up to know the joy of sins forgiven. And the psalmist is overwhelmed and he goes further. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious," we've sung this, "slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Those of you who can't get your head around that and have been to New Wine, that means from gold 2 to silver 7. That's how far. Or from silver 7 to the car park. That's how far. He has removed our transgressions from us. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." I've only got time to talk about that one, but forgiveness is key. But he talks about the God who speaks. He made his ways known to Moses. He speaks of his compassion, his healing, his redemption, his renewing, and more. It's all driven by love for you. He is particularly fond of you. I hope one day you will be able to join with David and say, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name."